Let's open with hymn 190. Beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity.
Merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works! Though that through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Begotten Son in suffering, and hereafter in glory. We beseech thee, comfort us in temptations and afflictions by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not fall into despair, but that we may continually trust in thy Son's promise, that our trials will endure but a little while, and will then be followed by eternal joy. That we thus, in patient hope, may overcome all evil, and at last obtain eternal salvation through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
Old Testament lesson is found in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the 26th through the 31st verse. Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the second chapter of 1 Peter, the 11th through the 20th verse. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those that do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Here ends the epistle lesson. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord hath sent redemption unto his people. Hallelujah. It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and thus to enter into his glory. Hallelujah. Chapter of John, verses 16 through 23. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 205. Found in the 16th chapter of John, verses 16 through 23. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father." They said therefore, "What is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he is saying." Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing." Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Let us always find comfort therein, in the gospel of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Christian friends, a little while, Jesus said to his disciples, and they would not see him. And a little while longer, and they would see him again. There would be a little season of sorrow, but there would be endless joy thereafter. That is the way the Father in heaven has ordered the world ever since man fell into sin. Man would eat bread, but first he would work the ground in the sweat of his brow. And since that day, the Lord has blessed mankind with the fruits of the earth, but not before the labor and sorrow of tilling and planting and tending a crop. This is true of every endeavor of man, whether building a house or a business. Try to turn this on its head, and the results are disastrous. Some men give in to their lazy natures and attempt to live off the labor of others. Today, we call this welfare, a horrible misuse of the English language. For who is actually faring well? Not the man who must work so that other men might be lazy and take his money. It is actually theft. One person exploiting another, stealing his labor and claiming it for himself. But while this may go on for a time, the results are never good. Those who live this way are more prone to crime than honest laborers. They live as if the world owes them everything, and society as a whole suffers. And if they live this way toward the world, so much easier is it for them to live this way toward God, as if God himself owes them everything. This is what happens when God's order is turned on its head. And yet no amount of work and labor can get you a ticket to heaven. That only works for earthly goods. But though our labors cannot earn us the favor of God, the order of sorrow and joy is still the same. First comes sorrow, then comes joy. Jesus, too, was not exempt. He had to endure labor and sorrow and pain and anguish before he, as a man, could fully partake of the glory and joy which was rightly his as the Son of God. And really, it was more true for Jesus than for any, that the path to glory led through sorrow. All the sorrows of mankind, all of the anguish that any man had ever suffered, was laid upon Jesus, because that was the only way that men might have lasting joy and peace. No one knew such sorrow as he who bore the weight of our sin. But so too, no man has ever had such glory as Jesus does. For his glory is not just what anyone might know, what any man might know here on earth, but the eternal glory and majesty of God. The disciples came to see this, even though at the beginning they didn't understand. Jesus told them that he had to go away to be crucified. A little while, they would no longer see Jesus. He would die, and he would be laid in a tomb. and his disciples would weep and lament while the world rejoiced in glee. Just like the hymn of Walther, which says the foe was triumphant when on Calvary the Lord of creation was nailed to the tree. But that time of sorrow really was just for a little while. From Friday to Sunday, the triumph of Satan was short, and so was the sorrow of the disciples. For a little while they saw Jesus again. Their sorrow was turned into joy, and their joy did not end. No man could take it from them. Not even as it was for many of them, their executioners. A woman in labor endures great sorrow. The pain of childbirth came with the fall of man into sin, as we hear in Genesis chapter 3. And though some women bear it better than others, all must indeed bear it. But once the sorrow of labor is at an end, great joy follows. A child is born into the world, and suddenly all the pain and labor is forgotten. But can you imagine how it would be for a woman to know nothing of childbirth or what is happening to her, to have no understanding at all that this labor which she is now enduring has a blessed end? The pain and the anguish would be ever so much more dreadful. It would be so much worse. It would be like death was overtaking her if she did not know the purpose of the sorrow. Our labor in this world is the same way. That is why Jesus speaks to his disciples before his death, before the sorrow comes. He wants them to understand that it will be short and it will have a blessed and joyful end. And they did not understand his words when he spoke them then. But they did understand afterward. When he rose from the dead and when he sent them into the world to declare the things that they had seen and heard. And yes, their sorrows even then were not at an end, for they had to endure much tribulation. And yet, as Jesus' word told them, no one was able to take away their joy. After Jesus rose from the dead, he did not remain in the world. The time that he was to be seen by men was also, as he said, for a little while. 40 days later, he ascended into heaven, and the disciples saw him no more. And every generation after that has not seen Jesus except through the witness of the apostles. What was true of the disciples is true of every Christian. When we enter the Christian faith through the waters of baptism, we are much like the disciples who followed Jesus as he walked the earth. We have a very personal encounter with the God of grace. A holy thing takes place. Jesus comes and blesses the child or the adult with his grace and mercy. He forgives them. He makes them his own. But then they do not see Jesus. They are already in the little while. The initial joy of experiencing the salvation of God will always give way to times of sorrow and testing. As Jesus said in this same chapter, in the world you will have tribulation. But then he adds, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus did not mince words when it came to the trouble that we will face, the testing that all of us have to endure, and the sorrow which we will know while we wait for his coming. He tells us of these things so that we will know that our sorrow is like the labor of a woman. He wants us to know that the things that we endure here are not signs of God's anger and wrath. They are preparing us for the endless joy of heaven. It's tempting to believe that when we endure trouble, God is punishing us because of our sins. Because we know that we really are sinners. And we can always think of many reasons and many offenses that we have committed against God that he might be getting back at us for. It is true that sometimes God uses trouble to get our attention, to remind us of our need for his mercy, and to remind us again of the danger of living in the flesh. He chastens us so that we don't fall away into impenitence like the prodigal son. Because the worst thing that can happen to a Christian is impenitence, when they no longer feel sorry for the countless wicked deeds that they have committed, and when they no longer seek the pardon of God which he offers in Jesus. So much worse sorrow awaits such a man than anything that he could endure on earth. Sorrow that our dear Lord Jesus has already endured on our behalf. And so things like money troubles or diseases or persecution become a reminder that we are still living in a world of sin and that we can still fall. And yet in all these things, how could God be punishing us, trying to get back at us for our wrongs? First of all, Jesus has already paid for those sins. Second, God is still our Father and we are his dear children. His love is steadfast and enduring. He has even told us of the trials that we would face. But for a little while, when we do not see Jesus, we will have sorrow. But the joy that Jesus will bring us is not for a little while. It is endless joy. So much so that we will forget all the sorrow that went before. The world is a scary place, no doubt. All we have to do is look at the news and see threats of every kind imaginable. New plagues like the swine flu, whether it's real or not. Terrorists who want to destroy Christians. A financial crisis that threatens to engulf the world, and a government that is encroaching upon liberties of every sort and could just as well do the same with our freedom of worship. Like the disciples at the time of Jesus' passion, we see so many of these troubles just on the horizon, and it all seems very dark indeed. Satan appears to be working overtime, giving us endless reasons to despair. It is as if by piling the troubles on higher and higher, Satan thinks that he will hide the fact that our Lord Jesus is still ruling all things, that he is still governing the course of nations, and that Satan, despite how he flails and protests, has already been defeated, and his doom has been assured. The antidote to his despair is to hear the words of Jesus. So often we think that God is punishing us or that Satan is having his way. Hear the words of Jesus. He tells you in the middle of your labor and sorrow that he loves you. He forgives your sins while you are still a sinner and unable to do anything good for him. His mercy does not come with strings attached. He simply says, "Believe in me." And despite every evidence in this world to the contrary, you shall never die. The greatest proof of his word is himself. He endured more sorrow than you can ever imagine. Yours cannot compare to his. And yet, he arose triumphant from the grave. And he now reigns with all the power and majesty of God. It is not just any Savior that you have, but one who has experienced your own sorrow and turned it into the greatest joy. And he will do the same for you. Therefore, do not be afraid of the troubles you see in this world. Do not despair, even though for a little while you must have sorrow. Our Jesus has risen from the dead, and therefore we also will be raised up from all our labors, and he will take us to be with him so that we can experience the joy of eternal life together. And that joy does not wait until heaven. We begin to know it right here, while we are among men, while our own nature is striving to overthrow our faith, while the devil is raging against us. We know this joy by faith because it is ours when we believe the words of Jesus, when our conscience is silenced by his words of love. When we think that God is angry with us and hates us, he says to you, "I forgive you. You are mine and I am yours." When he bids you take and eat, "This is my body given for you, for your sins. This is my blood shed for the remission of your sins." His words feed our joy like a fire, keeping it burning in this world, giving us new strength each day to continue in this world, to do what is good and right, to show the light of Christ to our fellow men, and to spread the joy of salvation abroad into all the world. Jesus says that no one can take away this joy from us, for it truly is endless joy. It begins in us today, and it continues on until it fully blossoms into eternity, until the day when we will not need to ask Jesus for anything at all, for we will already have all things that we could possibly ask for. Let us then rejoice in our risen Lord and believe his word until our joy is made full in eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who art mighty in power and infinite in majesty, who hast created the heavens and bringest out each star in the celestial host by name, as we enter into the courts of thy presence with thanksgiving and prayer, incline thine ear unto us, and in thy mercy hear us. We give thanks unto the everlasting God that thou didst glorify thy Son, Jesus Christ, in his resurrection from the dead, after he had offered himself as priest and as sacrifice for all the world, laid himself upon the altar of the cross, and died to reconcile sinners unto thee. Grant us the blessings of his infinite grace and inexhaustible love. We praise thee that thou didst transform the little while of the crucifixion sadness and defeat into the joy and victory of the resurrection. Help us to lay hold of Christ's promise of eternal life and to receive it in joy. Give us this glorious consolation by a true and living faith. Grant us the hope and assurance that our eyes shall yet behold him, when according to thy promise, our Redeemer shall at the latter day stand upon the earth and receive us and all who believe in him into the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. And as the empty tomb has been the cradle of the Church of Christ, we pray that all believers may be endowed with zeal to perform thy will, so that thou mayest be glorified, and multitudes turned from their sin to faith in our risen Lord. Bestow thy favor upon our land. Give us a government that preserves liberty, upholds justice, seeks righteousness, curbs lawlessness, and by thine ordinance bears its sword in courage and integrity. Let all Christian citizens, in accordance with thy will, accept their lawful obligations cheerfully and dutifully, giving respect to those in authority and honor to all men. And as our eternal dwelling place is with thee, O Father, grant us, who are but strangers and pilgrims on earth, such a measure of thy power and grace that we may resist all evil, fight the good fight of faith, and in the end receive the victor's crown of life. Give the comfort of thy promises to the sick, the sorrowful, the broken-hearted, and the perplexed. Cast out from our hearts all fear of death and the unknown. Instill in us patience in every adversity, and enable us to receive all thy many blessings in love and gratitude. These things we ask in the glorious hope of an eternal day with thee, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing hymn number 535.
Rejoice, my life, be glad and sing, Christ here comes. that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us and hath taken away the sins of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. The true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. Source of all.
in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. We sing hymn number 202.
Thank you.
bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.